But it is good to see everyone again this evening. And it is a beautiful day. I mean, December the 24th, and it's, what, 68 degrees outside today? So it's, I think the weatherman said this time last year it was 11 degrees. So, big change. Tonight, I want to speak to you about a word that people in the world and even Christians use very loosely. And it's not Christmas, it's not whatever you may be thinking, it's the word miracle. Miracle is used to describe a lot of things that people put high hopes in that happen. You remember the little girl that got trapped in a well several years ago out in Texas, and then when they were able to recover, it's a miracle. And you remember this time of year, there's a movie that comes out, The Miracle on 34th Street. We apply that word miracle to almost anything that we really don't understand why it happened. And yet, a biblical miracle is something completely different from what people, what they're using the word miracle for today. A Bible miracle is something that is beyond natural occurrence. When they dug little Jessica out of the well, that wouldn't be on natural occurrence. That was man putting his know-how to the task and bringing that little girl safe to safety. The word miracle is translated is used of works of a supernatural origin and character, such as could not be produced by natural agents and means, according to Vine. It means that if it is a true miracle, it's something that has not been produced by anything other than divine hands. Something that is supernatural is what is being described here. In Bible terms, a miracle is the supernatural intervention of divine power into the natural world. You look at passages like John 6 and verse 19, where Jesus was walking on the water. That goes beyond the laws of physics and nature. It was something supernatural. You look at John 11, verse 39, and then verses 43 and 44, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That goes beyond the laws of nature. You remember in that account, his sisters told Jesus, Lord, he'd been in there 3 days. And in the southern vernacular, Lord, he's stinking by now. You can't raise him from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. And he did. Something that was beyond the laws of nature is what Jesus had done. But when you look at people today, you talk to people today, they talk about the birth of a child, and they say, oh, it's a miracle. No, it's something marvelous, all right. But it does not fit the definition of a Bible miracle. And when we fail to properly define what a miracle is, it leads to confusion. It leads to doubt and skepticism, cynicism, and I guess most importantly, unbelief. When we don't know what a miracle is or how to define it. But when we talk about God working, yes, in the old Bible, New Testament times and points beyond, even older than that, God did work miracles. He works supernaturally in the lives of mankind. But he doesn't do that today. But he still works in our lives, but we call it providence. It's not a supernatural event. Someone surviving a tornado today is not a supernatural event. It's God's providence. A child that is pronounced as having a disease before it's born and then not having that disease, it's not a miracle. It may be a misdiagnosis by a smart doctor, an intelligent doctor, but it's still God's providence. And we believe that. We believe that God works today because we pray to Him. And we know He's going to answer our prayers. Daniel prayed to God 3 times a day, as was his custom, Daniel chapter 4. So, some clear Bible statements about miracles might remove some confusion, and then strengthen our faith about what they are. So let's ask the question when it comes to miracles of the what. The signs, wonders, and powers. That's what miracles were. And they happened in the first century and even before then. You read passages like Acts 2 in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And in verse 22, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Peter pointed out that Jesus worked all of these things, signs, wonders, and miracles, and he said it was through God. Now, as we know, and we'll reflect upon this as we go through this lesson, the purpose of these miracles, wonders, and signs was to confirm who Jesus was, that he was indeed the Son of God. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 2 and verse 4, "God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." Talking about Christ. That was God bearing witness, his testimony to Christ being from him. So when we talk about signs, wonders, and powers, what are we talking about? Well, when we talk about signs, we're talking about their design was to reveal the presence of God. When a miracle was performed, it was to show that God was there. You know, we noticed this morning from Acts chapter 10, when the household of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit came down upon that household, Peter's statement was, "How can we refuse baptism? God is not a respecter of persons." It was to confirm that God accepted the Gentiles into the Christian faith. And Peter couldn't deny it. Neither could the other Jews that were there. They couldn't deny. So here was God's sign telling Peter, "You accept what I've told you to accept." We look at passages like John 3 and John 9. We notice the beginning of John 9 this morning with the man that was blind who was healed. These signs were given to reveal the presence of God. You remember when Jesus came to the man that was blind and his disciples asked him, "Who sinned?" Jesus' response was, "Neither he nor his parents." He says, basically, that this was an opportunity provided by God for something to be done. For a sign to be given that God was there. That God was working in Christ and through Christ. Well, when we talk about wonders, their nature was to attract the attention of men to cause astonishment. And it did just that. When you read throughout the scriptures about these miracles and signs and wonders that were done, the people were in amazement that these things were actually being accomplished. You remember this morning they accused him of being a sinner because he healed this blind man on the Sabbath. And then the debate and the division that arose out of the Pharisees there was, well, how can he be a sinner if he's done something good? He caused a lot of confusion and astonishment. And we see that very point in Acts chapter 3. But then there are powers. The powers that were given. And they were given to confirm that their origin was from God. Again, we go back to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Now these miracles, and here's an interesting point. They were given through the agency of man. Man is the one that performed these miracles, but it was God who gave them that ability. It was God and His Holy Spirit working through the agency of men to go and lay hands on someone and heal them. But you know what's also interesting? When a miracle was performed, there's nothing said about it saving their soul. It healed them of their infirmity or raised them from the dead. But nothing is said that it saved them from their soul or saved their soul. That required something other than the miracle. We read 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. And if miracles were saving people, why wasn't Saul automatically saved and remained saved on the road to Damascus? Instead, he says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. There was the fear in Saul, or in Paul, that he would fall from salvation. But if he was able to perform miracles and miracles performed upon him, with his eyesight being restored, why was he not automatically saved? And if he was automatically saved, why did Ananias tell him in his account to arise and be baptized, washing away your sins? Then we notice passages like Acts 10 with the household of Cornelius again. In verse 44 through 48, Peter talks there. And he says in verse 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we? Now, if the Holy Spirit was enacting in a miraculous and supernatural way, which he was, why was there a need for them to be baptized? Nothing about miracles saved their souls. Verse 48, so he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It's not something that's going to save our souls. A miracle is not. So now let's ask the question, why did miracles happen? Well, we've already alluded to this to the point that it was evidence for people to believe that Jesus was the Christ. We look at passages throughout the scriptures, and there are many, but the one that comes to mind is John 20, verses 30 and 31. You know the story well, where Thomas doubted and he says, oh, I won't believe unless I can put my fingers in the holes in his hand. And when Jesus produced his hand, he says, Thomas, touch him. And he believed. But John records there in verses 30 and 31 that there were more miracles that were done that were not recorded. He says, but these were written, talking about you and I, that we might believe. The miracles didn't save anybody's life. Didn't save their soul, rather. But they were given as evidence for us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were given also to reveal the gospel to the apostles of Christ as well as the prophets. You look throughout the pages of the scriptures, and as you read throughout the New Testament, the gospels anyway, we oftentimes comment about the apostles, or the ones to become apostles, his 12 closest disciples. How frequently do we say, well, they just don't get it, and how many miracles did they see in that process? How many signs and wonders did they see in that process, and they still didn't get it until the very end? How many miracles did it take to confirm to these 12 men that this was Christ, the Son of the living God? But it was also given, they were also given, to inspire the proclamation of the gospel. And that's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. That these miracles that were given were given to confirm that this message that Christ preached was indeed from heaven. To confirm the authenticity of the gospel. But then here's the million-dollar question. Who worked these miracles? And you might add another question to this. Can they still be worked today? Now, my reason for bringing this lesson is my barber talked to me last month and told me he still believed in speaking in tongues and miracles. And in the 20 minutes I had in his chair, it's hard to convince someone who's not wanting to read the scriptures except for what they want to get out of it that miracles have ceased. And when I cited the scriptures to him, his final response was, huh, I didn't know that. But I'm still going to believe what I want to believe. Isn't that the nature of mankind? They believe what they want to believe. And even though in the first century, and points backward, how many miracles were seen and the people still did not believe what they saw? But who could work miracles? Well, first and foremost, we know that Jesus Christ could work these miracles. He worked them from as early as the wedding feast in Cana. Then the 12, they could perform miracles, and the 70, they could perform miracles, but there again, their power was given to them by Jesus, the Son of God. And Jesus' power was divine at that. And then there were the apostles of Christ. They were baptized by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. We saw that in Acts chapter 2. And then in Acts chapter 10, you saw the household of Cornelius. The Holy Spirit working on these people, and it produced this ability for miracles to be performed at their hands, the laying on of their hands. But then there were a few others that had that ability after the apostles. There were Christians in the first century who the apostles had laid their hands on that could perform miracles. But it was only after the apostles had imparted this miraculous spiritual gift. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 19, Romans 1, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. And yes, these were miraculous spiritual gifts. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where Paul says, beginning in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit." These gifts that these people had came because the apostles laid hands on them and imparted the gift of the Holy Spirit to those Christians. But it didn't take place. They couldn't take that gift that they had received through the laying on the apostles' hands and pass it on. If they could, then we would still have the ability to perform miracles today, which we don't. But what we notice here in verse 7 is that these gifts at that time were given for the profit of all, so that everyone could benefit. Then we go on and we notice in verses 10 and 11 that Paul continues, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." That is the Spirit of God. He's the one that does the distributing. It's not really the apostles. God works through their hands, just like giving us the message, the recorded message. It's through the pen, the hand of those individual men. And this passing on of these gifts was through the individual hands of these men. But it was God through His Spirit giving this gift. So it's not given even today because there's no one left to pass on this gift. An example of this would be the discerning of spirits. He said, we notice in Acts 5 where Peter says, "This must refer to some power of searching into the secrets of the heart." Well, this is Barnes talking about this. He says, "Of knowing what were a man's purposes, views, and feelings," about what was taking place in Acts 5. Now, today, we don't have the gift of miracles. Miracles are not being performed today. As much as we might like to attribute some of the things that are happening in society to a miracle, they just don't happen. But what we do have is the ability to discern doctrine and fruit by using the Word of God. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 4 that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. All we've got to do is use it. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, we're told that we're to test or to try the spirits to see whether the things that they're teaching are from God or not. So if someone is saying, "Oh yes, miracles still happening today," show me the scripture. Prove to me in the scriptures. Because what I read in the scriptures does not confirm that miracles are still being performed today. There's no ability for that. So then that begs to ask the question, how long did these miracles last? Well, they lasted just long enough for their purpose to be fulfilled. And after that, they ceased. So when was their purpose fulfilled? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that when the gospel was completely revealed, confirmed and communicated by inspiration, that there was no longer any need for miracles, signs, and wonders to be performed. The Bible is complete. There's no need for any supernatural event to take place for us to have it confirmed for us. It has complete authentication. I almost couldn't say that word. It is completely authenticated through Jesus and His Word. It is complete revelation to guide us completely and to edify us. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And it is the complete standard for testing everything that we have. Again, go back to 1 John 4 and verse 1. We don't need anything else to confirm to us the Word of God. It is complete. It is its own confirmation. So if anything comes along that's different or contrary to the Word of God, that is the test. If whatever they're teaching or preaching does not match the test of this book, we don't have any part of it. So how long do these miracles last? They last until the death of those who had power to use them. And when those people died, so did the ability to pass on these gifts. This means the imparting of miraculous spiritual gifts ended when the apostles died. So anybody that claims that they have miraculous gifts today, you might see someone on TV claiming to be able to heal somebody and they'll slap them up against the forehead. It's a false doctrine. It's a false teacher. You might see religious today that claim to be able to speak in tongues. It's a false teaching. It's false doctrine. Because here it is, we're, as Benny rightly pointed out, we're about to turn the calendar over to 2024. 2024. And almost 2,000 years ago, the apostles finally died out, and this ability to pass these gifts on, these miraculous gifts, ceased at their death. It stopped. When they died, these powers died, and that ended on earth. There's no more ability to pass on these miracles. So miracles, they served their purposes and came to an end with the completion of God's Word, the completion of His revelation, the revelation of the New Testament. Again, 1 Corinthians 13, Hebrews 1, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Now, the miracles in the Bible are recorded for our faith. Again, we look at John 20, verses 30 and 31. And John says, "Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." John recorded here for us that there's no need for any more miracles. There's no need. If you don't have enough faith to believe what is written and recorded for us, then that's a problem for study. If you think that you need another miracle today, then you are misguided. Someone has misled you. Because the holy inspired scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired, it's God breathed, tells us that these things that were written so that we might believe. There's no need for any other miracles. There's no need for anybody to be able to speak in tongues today. Our faith in Jesus Christ is strengthened through these miracles that were performed. And our trust in the Bible, in its authenticity and its accuracy, are made more secure when we believe what has been recorded. Do you believe? Is what's recorded for you enough that you believe in God's Word? God said it's enough. We don't need anything else. We shouldn't need anything else. God's holy word said that the things that were recorded, were enough for us to believe. Do you believe what's been recorded in God's word? Have you obeyed that word? If you haven't, why not do it tonight? I can't think of a better way to end the year than to put Christ on in baptism. Have you lived your life being misguided, thinking that miracles still are being performed today? The Bible says there's no need for these miracles. Now, I do believe in the providence of God, but there are no miracles being worked today. And you'll hear people talk about doctors being miracle workers and things of this nature. It may be something spectacular, but it's not a miracle. It's not a divine intervention. It's not divine supernatural powers at work. It's God's providence. He allows things to take place. If you're here tonight and you have sin in your life and you need to return to Christ, this is your opportunity to do so. If you need to respond, I ask you to make your way to the front while together we stand and sing.